listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Jesus, Jesus, name that I love. Blessed name of my Savior who came from above.
Thank you.
reading today from John chapter 17, the prayer of the Lord Jesus shortly before his death, before his being taken, reading verse 1 and 24. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And then verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Let's pray that we'll have understanding of these words and other words that we consider from the Scripture, from the Lord Jesus himself, also those that God spoke of concerning the Lord Jesus long before he was born. Our Father, we give thanks once again that we can come to thee as a Father, not only as Creator, but as Redeemer, through Christ Jesus, one who has adopted us because of him. And we pray, Father, that thou wilt be with each one that has been adopted, reviving us from the weak state in which the church is, and that, Father, we might be strengthened from on high, that we also may be brought to repentance wherever it is needed, that we might be brought to a godly sorrow as the church at Corinth, and as others, Lord Jesus, that thou dost speak to through John, calling many of them to repentance. And we pray that we might see the need of it today, that the church again might be a salt and a light in each nation, that we may no longer be such that we are only worthy to be trodden under foot of men. We fear we have come to that, Father, in our nation. And we know, Father, that though the world would do that, that first of all the fault is ours. And we pray that we might think of thy glory, that we might think of the good and the need of our neighbors, both in the church and in the world. We think especially of homes, the many that are troubled and broken. And, Father, we cannot expect true blessing in the nation when our homes are so troubled and bringing children into the world that often are not wanted or murdered before the birth, the children that grow up in homes that are troubled. And, Father, we fear that we are both dishonoring thee, we are hurting ourselves, we are bringing in a generation in the world that we are not bringing up in the fear and nurture of thee. And we pray that thy word again may be preached, heard, believed, and acted on. We pray, Father, that those things spoken of in this prayer of thee, Lord Jesus, may be answered in our time, especially the many times that, Lord Jesus, thou didst pray to the Father that the church would be one. Make us to know that a house divided against itself cannot stand. And only when we are one, that this blessing described that the world will know that thou, Father, hast sent Christ, will be known and will be believed. We pray that these things might take place for Jew and for Gentile. We ask, Father, for thy blessing in other ways, the temporal needs of those in sickness and injury, those in hunger, homeless, war-torn lands, those, Father, in older age, the lonesome, the weak. We pray for leaders in every country, that they might have the fear of thee, which is the beginning of wisdom, that we may be taken out of the terrible confusion and strife that is there in so many nations, the danger of it, as Paul could say to Timothy, to pray for those in authority that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life. And we pray that, Father, we give thanks for the freedom that is still ours, that we have had through these many years in our nation. And we pray that that blessing may continue. And, Father, that we may have the other blessings that can only bring this to fruition and continue it. We pray, Father, for all other blessings that we need in the workplace, in the schools, in nature, those suffering under the ravages of nature. We pray for that blessing on them all through Christ Jesus. Amen. As we look once again at this prayer, possibly the last time for this period, I would like especially to think of those words that Christ prayed to the Father, recorded in verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they also may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou gavest them me before the foundation of the world. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Here, the Lord Jesus is praying once again for those that had already been given to him, that he describes many times, and prayed throughout this prayer for the glory that he would have. The first verse that we read, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. A little further in the prayer, he said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Verse 4. And then again a prayer that he might be glorified. Verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Once again, if there's any question at all that this is not the Son of God, then listen to those words. Glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He has been the eternal God with the Father. And now only him can be glorified with God himself. As Paul said to the church at Corinth, that God has shown himself in the face of Jesus Christ. He has spoken of himself through prophets, but never shown himself in the face of any one prophet like he did Christ. Even though Moses' face shone after he had seen some of the glory of God, it was not like this at all. The Son and the Father are one, and he is the Son of God. As we read in that first verse, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. And then the difference between us as children of God, men that are sons of God, then that 24th verse, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. He is praying a wonderful blessing for those that God had given to Christ, but still to see the difference, to see the glory that God gave to the Son, far different than any given to any man, any woman, any child. We are given the things of Christ. He can be made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. But it is then the Spirit taking the things of Christ and both showing them to us and giving them to us, but from Christ to us. We'd like to see that this glory has been there, not only, as he said, before the foundation of the world, but as well from the foundation of the world, God has given glory to his Son. He gave glory to his Son when he was born. He put a star in the sky that the wise men saw and followed to the place where Jesus was born. We can go back long before he was born, 4,000 years before that, when the world was created. Then, shortly after that, after Adam was created, fell into sin, God came to him and told him of the coming of his Son. He said, the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. And that is the one that was born, that we just spoke of, when he said, put the star in the sky. Not only that, as he made it known until he was born, then first to Adam, then Abraham, David, Isaiah, Micah, Moses spoke of Christ. All of those spoke of his coming and who he was, what he would do. Be born of the virgin. Isaiah said, by his stripes we are healed. Then, when he was about to be born, not only did God put the star in the sky, but shortly before he was born, he sent an angel, Gabriel. We see that in the Gospel of Luke, where the angel spoke to both Mary and Joseph. the angel saying to Joseph, you are now to take Mary to wife, that holy thing that will be born of her would be called the Son of God. The angel telling Mary the same thing. Both of them being instructed by the angel before Christ was born. And then at his birth, the angel's coming, making the message known to the shepherds, as well as the star making the truth known to the wise men. All of that because of God's Son giving glory to him. And the angels at the time of his birth saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Oh, that we might see that today, giving God more glory, giving him glory because his Son has been born. God has in his love given him. And then to know the blessing of that giving, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. If all those in the countries torn by war would believe that, all those people, they'd stop fighting. Stop fighting one another. Stop fighting against God. They would soon say, like Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, who art thou, Lord? What wilt thou have me to do? They would become as Christ taught when he was here on earth, become as little children. All that is given in the Scripture, much of it before he was born, and continued to be given after he was born, right up to his death here, his own prayer, other things that he spoke as well. Shortly before his death, we read in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, the hour is come, the Son of Man is glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Anyone who has any understanding of farming knows that that takes place. When one little grain of wheat or corn is put in the ground, it brings forth much. But it must be there, and it will die. The other is brought forth as fruit of that little seed. And Christ has accepted corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be. Here he is already stating the same thing as he did in that prayer, that they might be where he is and behold his glory. Here he said, where I am, there also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And then thinking more of what he was soon to face, verse 27 of John 12, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. No one else in all the world, no one else in all of time, all of the so-called prophets, didn't come to such an hour as Christ came to die. To die for sinners. God becoming man. And then as a man died on the cross. For this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. And God does get glory through the death of Christ. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said, it thundered. Others said, an angel spoke to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. He did that then. He is doing it now. Drawing men to himself by his word and by his spirit. And God is doing it as well. As he said, no man cometh unto me except the Father draw him. God had drawn those apostles. Christ spoke of over and over in that prayer of the Father giving them to Him. Here, listen again to those words in that 28th verse of John chapter 12. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. God was saying already what Christ prayed for. Again, the first verse of John 17, the first words of his prayer, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. The Father and the Son gave that perfect glory to one another in perfect unison and did all things perfectly in plan from the foundation of the world. As we read in verse 24, the last part of that, Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world, and sinners were also loved in Christ before the foundation of the world. They are here spoken of, given. Two things are mentioned a number of times. One is the word glory or glorified all through that prayer, as well as what we read already from John chapter 12. We read it a number of times from the first verse, twice. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. In the fourth verse, the Lord Jesus said to the Father, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. In the fifth verse, once again, And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. In this we can see that he is the eternal Son. He isn't just a man. He is God taking on him the form of man. Or as Paul writes of him, He who thought it not robbery to be equal with God took on him the form of a man, then humbled himself to the death of the cross. And after that we read in Paul's letter to the Philippians, Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Just think, there are thousands of people being told in the book that has been given to them that Jesus is a lesser man than others that are called prophets. Not true. Not true at all. There's only one whom it can be said, Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. He has glorified the Father in all things. First in creation. Being with the Father before the foundation of the world. Planning. Doing things that were done. Many times Christ speaking in the first person throughout the written word in the Old Testament. And many times God speaking of Him. Psalm 45, Thy throne, O God. Psalm 110, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Only one Lord said that to the Lord with him. The Lord said unto my Lord, words of David. All of these are given. Going on, verse 22 of this chapter, And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. That they may be one, even as we are one. God has to give us the glory, His own glory. The glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. On the one hand, He is praying for that oneness that is mentioned five different times, that they might be one, that they might be one. And here He said, The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them that they may be one. Wherever there are those, and those are described a little earlier, when he said, I pray not for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. As soon as we hear the word and believe it, the glory begins. The blessing begins. It will be greater in heaven. And that's what he was really praying for in the 24th verse, that they may be where I am, that they may behold my glory. But we already see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We only see it in a measure. We see here, Paul says, through a glass darkly. But it can be seen. It can be believed. And only one way, one name, none other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved. There's many names of many teachers, many prophets that try to tell people how they can save themselves. But they can no more save themselves than a drowning man that can't swim can save himself. That's how we can help ourselves. That's all we are, drowning and proud, unwilling to admit it. But there is this one way, and it begins by hearing, believing. Over and over, the Lord Jesus has spoken about the word. I have given them thy word. Those that thou hast given me, I have given them thy word. Thy word is truth. There aren't other words that contradict this that can also be true. Some people like to say, oh, with others, we all believe in the same God. We can't have a God then. I think we all have heard the saying, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Other books written are divided, different, contrary to this holy Bible. Contrary of who Christ is as the Son of God, contrary to what he did as being made a curse for us on the cross, dying, he dying, not someone else, the Son of God, he who took on himself the form of a man, humbled himself to the death of the cross. He went willingly. And now he can rightly pray, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Given, given, given. Verse 2, as many as thou hast given me. Verse 6, the men which thou gavest me. Verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. Verse 11, those whom thou hast given me. Verse 12, those that thou gavest me. And then again in this 24th verse, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. There are many causes why we have what we have, but they're all from God and all through Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt not only be saved, but have all and everything we need for time and eternity.
For listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.